Hello everybody, I am Keaton of Kinetic Catholic, back with another video. I'm joined by the Manny Gonzalez. Manny, thank you for hopping on, for taking the time. A lot of these questions, they come from you guys, from feedback that you guys have given us, or questions that you might have asked over the years. I'm super, grateful to be able to do this. Thanks, Manny.
Yeah, I'm stoked, man. I'm stoked to be here. I'm stoked to talk about this. This is an important conversation, guys. This is an important topic. Keaton was telling me that a lot of you guys have questions, naturally, right? Because this is relevant to all of us in the church, whether you know someone personally, if it's something close to you, if it's something distant to you, regardless, this is something we need to talk about. This is a topic that is relevant, to the young church, to the body of Christ. And yeah, so I'm really thankful and humbled to be here with Keaton, and I'm thankful that he trusts me to be a voice in this conversation. And yeah, let's get into it, man. Come on, Spirit.
So Manny, what started your path in Catholic ministry? What inspired you to be doing what you're doing now, actively engaged in ministry?
Yeah, so it's funny. I actually started on YouTube as well, which is so funny.
Crazy.
It's fun, but it's like, don't look it up, guys. It's like, it's like, I was telling Keaton, we were actually talking about this earlier, but just like, yeah, like some of my videos from like 5 years ago are still online. It's like, yeah, it's like, I cringe, but it's also so good. The Lord uses it how you want to. But basically, Keaton, I just felt the Lord telling me a little over 5 years ago, it was December of 2018. I received an image of a book opening up, and I realized it was the Lord telling me to share my story, to share my testimony, of just being a man, a Catholic man, who is attracted to other men, who has an LGBT plus experience, who, at the time I just encountered the Lord and really undergone a massive just new love for him, and I started desiring to strive to live according to church teachings on just homosexuality and on chastity, and looking into what that looked like for a young man in the modern world, and, you know, diving into my identity as a beloved son, all those things. So all that to say, I posted my story on YouTube, and I remember I asked for like a Canon camera for Christmas, and January 2019, I just turned my camera on, and I just spoke. I was just like, all right, Lord, whatever you want to say. Again, looking back on it now, a lot of the video I look at and I cringe at, but the Lord used what he wanted to. And so I posted that video, and very quickly I saw, I started getting a lot of traffic, but just people from all over started telling me, like, I thought I was the only one. I thought I was the only person in the pews who, you know, experienced same-sex attraction but desired to live a holy life according to church teaching, who desired to know Jesus. And you know, because I think there's this automatic assumption that we just need to leave the church, that God just hates us, or that we just can't live a Catholic life, and that we just have to leave. And immediately it was like, no, I started seeing that there was hope, and there was more people like me. Yeah. And so I started posting more videos, eventually became a blog site, What a Beautiful Cross. And then it's just blown into, by the grace of God now, 5 years later, it is what it is now. It's beautiful. I publicly speak. I travel the country. Internationally I've spoken. I work with Catholic bishops, all kinds of Catholic ministries. I'm very blessed to just be in this place where I can just speak hope and testify to the freedom that I found, the joy that I found in the church, and yeah, share that with others and also receive that from others, because we feed off each other, right? It's not just us speaking to you. It's like you also give us things. Like you bring us hope. You teach us things. You show us the light of Christ. So it's been beautiful just encountering him in that way. And yeah, that's kind of how it all started, man. I don't know. God is good. All glory be his. And here we are now. So, yeah.
Yeah, so diving into this ministry and being able to encounter a lot of people and a lot of young people and hear their stories. What do you think are some of the most common misconceptions about homosexuality within the church community? And how are you and how are we able to address that?
Yeah, great question, Keaton. I think, there's a lot of misconceptions on all kinds of ends of the spectrum, right? There'll be misconceptions, for example. I think one thing is that if you are a man or a woman who's attracted to the same sex, that you cannot be Catholic, that you can't live in the church. And automatically, we're debunking that right now. But that is false. That, like, the Lord desires relationship with you. The church is your home. Like, you are no less worthy or called to sainthood than anybody else. And so that's been one misconception that's been so beautiful for me through my life and through my ministry to be able to speak healing into for others. It's just, like, being able to tell these young people who think that, like, you know, like, I identify as gay, like, can I not be Catholic? And it's like, no, like, the church wants you, you know? Yeah. Obviously, our lives might look a little different, maybe, than what the world might say our lives should look like, but, like, the church is your home, and, like, yeah. Jesus loves you and desires a relationship with you. So, like, that's already a misconception that we're just going to debunk right now. Like, yeah. Jesus loves you. Jesus wants a relationship with you. Jesus desires just intimacy with you and wants intimacy with you so badly. We just got to answer that yes, just like everyone else. We are called to holiness just like everyone else in our respective states. So that's a misconception, right? That that gay people can't be Catholic, right? Debunk that. Another misconception I'd say is that the life that the church, the Catholic Church, is calling us to, so chastity, you know, picking up our cross, you know, that a life in the Catholic Church is specifically for us who have LGBT plus experiences, will be like boring or, unfulfilling, or it's not promising, it's hopeless. I would like to think of myself as not a hopeless man. I mean, I'm 25 years old and my life is so abundantly good. I'm so loved on. I have so much community, so many people who just pour into me, so much family, so many friends. I have a job that I love. I have coworkers I love. I get to wear fun clothes and, like, I love dressing up and, you know, like, expressing myself through fashion. I love traveling. You know, like, my life is so good and so abundantly awesome. And I've been in the church for almost 6 years now and, like, living this life intentionally. And so, I hope that my life can testify to you, at least, that, like, my life isn't boring. Like, I'm pretty happy. You know, like, you can be Catholic, you can be living or pursuing or striving for chastity and be very fulfilled and at peace. And this is coming from someone who, I did date men. There was a point where I would date guys. I would, you know, I was sexually active with guys. I would do all the things that the world told me would satisfy me. Did it feel good at moments? Yeah, of course. Like, it's, sin feels good. You know, I wasn't empty. I wasn't miserable. But at the same time, like, I'm speaking from someone who came from that, like, here now in the church, like, it's beautiful and it's good.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's not hard. Like, it's hard. Jesus said it would be hard. It's hard for all of us. You know, it's hard for Keaton. It's going to be hard for everyone. To be Catholic, to be Christian, to take up your cross, that's hard.
Yeah.
But it's good. It's worth it. So that's another misconception. So those are two misconceptions I'll throw at you. That, you know, gay people can't be Catholic, or people who are attracted to same sex can't be Catholic. False. You can and are called to be a disciple of Christ, just like everyone else. And then two, that a life that the church is calling us to, so life of virtue, life of chastity, things like that, that can be boring, false. You know, it's satisfying, it's good, it's fulfilling, it's freeing, it's joyful. So, yeah.
With that, you're going to have people, right? And, like, just in general, it's hard to find that that kind of balance between, like, acknowledging the truth of the church's teaching and also having love for every individual person. And so even for those outside the faith, like, having love for them, recognizing their dignity. So for you, how are you sort of able to, in ministry or just in life, find that balance in both truth and love?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is a balance or, this is something that I think everybody is constantly in all different topics trying to, I guess, like, master, right? Like, how do I, like, speak truth, but also be compassionate and kind, right? Like, how do I do both, right? Because as Christians, when we look at love, right, like in Scripture, Corinthians, the classic wedding Scripture verse that everyone uses, you know, love is patient, love is kind. And it goes on to say, like, love does not rejoice in evil, but rejoices in the truth. So we see the Bible is very clear that, like, love does include truth. Love does include, but love is also patient. Love is also kind. So you're like, okay, how do I balance those two? Especially with this topic, it can be very murky and it can seem very hard to balance. Like, okay, I need to speak truth, but I also need to be kind, you know. And so I just want to affirm, if you're struggling to find that balance, maybe it's with a relative or a friend that you have or whatever, if you're struggling to do the both, that is okay. You know, like it's understandable and it can be hard and it can be challenging yeah. sometimes. But my advice, first and foremost, is I think Catholics, we can fall on two ends of the spectrum, two radical ends of the spectrum, both of which I think can be damaging. One is that we can be so focused on truth, right? Like so much so, like truth, 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 that we forget about the human person before us, that yeah. we forget that this is still our brother and sister, that they have dignity, that yeah. they have value. And it's all about just the ideology, you know, being right, attacking them, making sure that they know the truth, and we forget that this is still a person who still desires and deserves to be seen, deserves to be valued and yeah. treasured as a human person. So there's that end of the spectrum where it's like truth, 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 but we take out compassion, sensitivity, and love. But then there's the other end of the spectrum that can also be just as damaging, where it's like we're going to be super kind and, you know, nice, and we're just going to treat everyone with charity and with respect, which is good and which we ought to do. But then also when it comes to truth or rooting people in the fullness of the greatness that they were made for and the life that Jesus called them to, we then hesitate and we're like, oh, I'm not going to speak that because I don't want to offend, or I don't yeah. want to, you know, disrespect them. And that's also can be damaging, right? So we have those two ends of the spectrum, both of which are damaging. Yeah. We need to find the middle ground, the Christian response, the way that Jesus did it, which is truth and love. They don't contradict. They don't oppose. They work together. You can't have truth without love. You can't have love without truth. How do you do that? I think especially for our brothers and sisters in the LGBT plus community, I think it starts with relationship.
Yeah.
I think, like, foremost, don't be afraid to be friends. Like, be friends. With you're not sinning, you're not actually condoning anyone's sin by being their friend or by acknowledging their human existence and respecting their dignity and their worth as a fellow human being.
Yeah,
they are made in the image and likeness of God. They are fearfully and wonderfully made. They are loved by the Father too, regardless of how they might be living, what they might be experiencing, what their sexuality is. At the end of the day, don't be afraid to encounter in daily life. Be kind to them. Be respectful. Ask questions. You know, yeah. like. Don't be afraid to invest in the human person. Like, get to know their hobbies, their interests, their, you know, there's so much more than their sexuality, too.
Yeah.
I think as Catholics, we're so hypocritical in that way that we say, like, oh, you're so much more than your sexuality. But then all we focus is their sexuality. And we're like, yeah. oh, how are we going to talk to them? They're not gay, but also, like, I only see them as gay and I don't want to talk about gay things. It's like, well, like, invest in the whole of them then.
Yeah.
Like, ask them questions, like, get to know them for who they are, their interests, their hobbies, their family, their experience with God, whatever. You know, form relationship. Don't be afraid of relationship. Don't be afraid to encounter. Don't be afraid of intimacy. And then if the space is open where they can start to ask questions about the faith, about church teachings on human sexuality, dive into that. You know, if they welcome that in, dive in. But I don't think we need to immediately come in with, like, I'm going to go to a gay pride parade. I'm going to preach to everybody about how they're all sinners and going to hell. It's like, no, that's not the answer.
Yeah.
Sit first. Sit with them. Invite them in. Don't be afraid to just have a meal, and from that place form a relationship, and who knows where that relationship will take you, that friendship will take you. Maybe it'll open the space for you to have some more faith-centered, you know, truth-filled conversations, and if it does, praise God. Maybe it won't. At the end of the day, start with a relationship. That's what Jesus did. Start with encounter. Yeah.
Okay, so this this question, we've actually gotten, like, this feedback a lot from various years. There's a lot of, like, family division that happens with this,
yeah.
as I'm sure you've seen in your active ministry.
Yeah.
And so, just kind of speaking into that, what advice or things would you say to Catholic parents, especially who might be like struggling to understand their children with same sex attraction, while also like remaining true to the Catholic faith? Like, you know what I mean? What would you speak into that?
Yeah, I mean, it is, I was talking to Keaton about this earlier, but it is unfortunately such a dividing issue right now. Like, the families are breaking because of this. I encounter it so frequently, of just hearing stories of just children and parents and relatives and siblings and just falling apart because of this topic and division, this topic. So if you are someone who may be struggling in that regard, or has a family member or a relative or whatever, that there's some kind of, there's schism right now in your family because of this, just know that I see you and I'm praying for you and my heart breaks with you. It's touchy. Because again, it goes back to that balance of like, okay, we need to speak truth, but we also need to maintain a relationship. How do we, you know, where is the balance there? I will say, again, going back to my point kind of earlier, I think it's important as Catholics, if we're going to say that our brothers, our sisters, our aunts, our uncles, our whatever relative it is that has an LGBT plus experience that we, you know, love, if we're to say that they are more than their sexuality, as Catholics, we're always saying, like, you know, like, you're a son and daughter foremost, you're more than your sexuality, whatever. If we're going to claim that, then we need to live that out in the way that we receive them. So if we are, if I'm going to tell, let's say, like, example, let's say I have a sister who identifies as lesbian. If I'm going to sit here as a Catholic and be like, well, the father, first and foremost, sees you as, like, a beloved daughter and, like, you know, everything else is, you know, comes after that. But, like, you're foremost, you're so loved by the father as a daughter, you know. But then I'm going to also come around and be like, oh, like, this is my lesbian sister who, like, I'm only, I can't talk to you because all she's going to talk about is lesbian stuff. And I don't want to ask questions because she's, you know, well, then it's like, I'm only looking at her as a lesbian.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm being a hypocrite when I just said she's a, so I think foremost, we're going to say that we are beloveds. And if we're going to root our relative, our loved one in that belovedness foremost, we have to start from a place of just, again, like, a holistic approach of, like, that as a human person, investing in the whole of their human person. Because there is more to them than their sexuality. Just like there's more to you than your sexuality. There's more to me than my sexuality. Like, it, like, invest in them beyond that. So, again, get to know them as for the whole of their person. Their hobbies, their interests, what music do they like? What are they passionate about? Like, what's their job scenario? What's their school scenario like? How are their friends? What's their relationship with God like? Do they have a faith? Ask questions. Get to know them. Invest in the person. There's so much more to them. And through your action, through the way you receive them, show that prove to them that, like, you are so much more than this. By the way you perceive them, of, like, there's more to you. So I think foremost starting from that place, I know it can be very difficult sometimes, especially if they make it their everything. Like, I know there are circumstances where, like, all they want to talk about is, you know, their queerness. And at the end of the day, that can be uncomfortable sometimes. And maybe there does need to be some conversations had of, like, if it gets to a point where all they want to talk about is their significant other and it makes you feel like you're compromising your faith, and maybe there does need to be a conversation that's maybe a little more difficult and direct of, like, hey, like, can we, like, you know what I believe as a Catholic, can we maybe, like, you know, like, draw a boundary here and, like, again, talk about other things besides your significant other? Because also, if that's all they're talking about, gay or not, I mean, if all you're talking about is your significant other, that's kind of surface anyway. So it's like, again, invest in the whole of who they are. Get to know who they are beyond that. Also, intercede. Don't have hope. I said don't have hope. Gosh. Don't be hopeless. Do not be hopeless and don't lose hope. I truly believe that I'm here today. I walked away from the church for a number of years before I came back. And in my teen years before I came back. And I truly believe that I'm here today because of the prayers of my grandparents, my parents, my godparents. Your prayers are being listened to. Whether they're going to be answered on the time you expect and how you expect, that's a whole different story. Yeah. But, like, the Lord does hear the cries of his faithful. Don't stop praying. So intercede fervently, fast. Like, as Catholics, we're very blessed. We have the Mass, we have fasting, like, all kinds of forms of offering sacrifice to the Father on behalf of your loved ones. So don't be afraid to pray, and don't be afraid of relationship. If you're praying and if you're trying your best to have relationship to whatever degree with your loved one, like, that is the best starting block. It's better than cutting them off. It's better than just shutting them away. That's not the answer. That's not what Christ would do. That's not what Christ does. Father meets us where we are. He encounters us amidst our brokenness. All of us, because we're all broken. We all need to be encountering that. He sits with us there, and he points us higher. So sit with your loved one. Don't be afraid to sit with them there. Point them higher. Pray with them. Pray for them. And just ask the Holy Spirit. Invite him into that. If you don't know the words to say, if you don't know how to encounter them at times, then ask the Lord to. Because you're not going to know how to at the end of the day anyway. There's no clear-cut answer. Jesus is the answer. So, you know, talk to him about it.
So, Manny, being involved in ministry and active in ministry, how do you see, like, the future of Catholic ministry when it comes to homosexuality, when it comes to same-sex attraction? Kind of evolving, like, continuing, expanding. What do you think needs to be done within a church as a church community to better invite those with same-sex attraction into the church, so let them know that they're loved, while also upholding that truth when it comes to ministry?
Yeah, that's a great question, Keaton. For starters, I'm hopeful. I'm so hopeful for the church and for the body of Christ, to be honest. Some people might feel hopeless right now in the church, might see the church as like uber homophobic or, you know, whatever. I'm incredibly hopeful. I would argue that the Catholic Church is like the only institution in the whole world that actually calls our brothers and sisters who have LGBT plus experiences to like authentic, actual, like full love, because we have love itself, Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, especially in the Eucharist. And so as a church that is rooted and grounded on love itself, I'm hopeful that this church, this body of Christ, is continuing to be purified to love better and better. Like, obviously, we're human. We're broken. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to fail. Church leaders have and will continue to fail when it comes to this topic. But I'm also seeing a lot of really important conversations being had. A lot more open discussion about this. Yeah. That the shame, it's interesting because there's such a culture of shame around this topic. People are so afraid to talk about this, to, God forbid, right? Like, come forward and say, like, I experienced this myself. And I'm not going to act like that shame is gone, because it's not. Unfortunately, it still is perpetrating a lot of areas in the church. Mm-hmm. But I think what we have seen and we're continuing to see, and what I am hopeful that the Spirit is continuing to do, is that shame is starting to slowly, I think, dissipate. That culture, overarching culture of shame. That more and more in the church now as a whole. Again, I'm not saying in certain pockets there isn't still shame being fostered. There isn't still discrimination. But as a whole, it seems like more and more people aren't afraid to normalize this at their youth groups or at their parishes, or to talk about. By normalize this, I mean like normalize these conversations. To just bring up the reality that like you might be in the pews and might experience this. Might, you know, be called to unify with the Lord in this particular way. Like, you know, like.
Yeah.
I'm just noticing more and more, and I don't know if you notice this, but like for me at least, I've noticed this more and more, that, you know, it's kind of now being listed more and more amongst those other struggles that teens and youth and everything, you know, it's now like we're not afraid to include this in the list, because we all struggle, and it's like, it's just funny that we're now finally getting to a place where we're like not afraid to admit that we struggle, you know, in this way. But like, praise God for that. And so I'm hopeful in that regard, that more discussions are happening, more conversations. I also am hopeful just seeing more ministries raising. There's one ministry that I absolutely love that I would direct any young person to who maybe has an LGBT plus experience and is seeking to live a life faithful according to Jesus Christ and his teachings. It's called Eden Invitation. My friends with the founders and the president, they're awesome. They're an apostolate with hundreds of young people who are just striving like me. Anywhere from, I think they have like 18 all the way up to like, you know, they have 18-year-olds, 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, like all kinds of people. It's awesome. So like Eden Invitation is here. We have all kinds of different speakers who testify publicly. You know, like Ken Zember, myself, like Avera Marie Santo, like all these different people. So that's like beautiful too. We have like faithful shepherds like Father Mike Schmitz, or, you know, we have people like Jason Ever who aren't, you know, priests, but are like lay people who are like proclaiming the good news with charity, with compassion. Yeah. So it's like, more and more resources are coming. More and more people are talking about it. More and more spaces are opening. So I'm hopeful. I'm very hopeful. And I also believe that our God is good. He's faithful. And, you know, when we look at the Lord, like, where sin abounds, grace abounds greater, right? So, like, in the world we live in, as we see, you know, this topic continue to just become more and more, like, on the, like, front line of the culture, I believe that just as that is happening, the Lord, in his faithfulness, his goodness, is going to also in the church, you know, not combat that, but like also like respond to that.
Yeah.
So I do believe it makes sense that as these huge conversations are happening in our culture, the Lord on the flip side, in the culture within the church, is like, he's moving and he's opening the spaces and discussions and raising great saints amidst this battle. And I've met some of them, and I work and I walk with many of them, and I'm hopeful. That's all I'll say. I think you get it. I'm very hopeful.
That's awesome.
So
just as kind of a concluding question, to someone watching this video who might, the video might end and say like, now what? Like, what do I do, or what can I do? What would you say to like any of us, any practicing Catholic, to what we can sort of do on a day-to-day basis, just in life, to speak into this topic, to pray into this topic?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I feel like in some regard I'm being kind of repetitive in the way that I'm answering this, but bear with me because I'm going to say relationship again and encounter again, right? And some people might hear this and be like, oh, like, Manny just keeps saying the same thing, like, oh, just encounter. Like, I get it, but, like, how do I encounter? But, like, here's the thing, guys. I truly believe that sometimes as Catholics, we are overcomplicating this. Like, I really do believe, like, sometimes I feel like I am being a horse with a dead stick, as the saying goes, meaning, like, I'm saying the same thing over and over again, because it really sometimes does come down to it is that simple. Like, it really is that simple of, like, we need to be unafraid and bold in the way that we encounter. Like, we can't be afraid to encounter our neighbors in the LGBT plus community. I think too many Catholics and Christians and just disciples of Christ are so, we shun away from even just like having conversation. Again, not necessarily have a relationship, even just having conversation with individuals who identify as gay, because we're scared that that's automatically condoning that. If I even like talk to this person, I'm like condoning sin, or I am, you know, like almost like a leper mentality of like, if I get near, like I'm tainting, you know, and like they're tainting me and I'm tainting them. It's just like a big, like just big old, like, you know, mess. And it's like, no, like relationship encounter, like it is necessary for proclamation of the gospel. Like truth is received in the context of relationship, especially a truth like this, a truth regarding human sexuality that we as Catholics know is so beautiful and so good and so deep. To someone who doesn't know the Lord or who isn't familiar with the person of Jesus Christ, like for them to receive that in a way that is, just with open hands, for them to care, they have to first know you care. For them to care about what we say, they have to first know that we care about them. And how does that start? How is that fostered? And just basic encounter, basic relationship. In your day-to-day, don't be afraid. If you see somebody who identifies as gay, don't immediately jump to, I need to walk the other way, or I need to ignore them, or I need to not smile at them. Like, no, on the contrary, as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, smile at that person.
Yeah.
Go out of your way to say, like, hello, how are you doing? Like wreck them with your love, you know? I mean, and it's almost like that would be a radical witness to them, because so many of them see us as like homophobic or hateful, like Catholics or Christians, because honestly, in some regard, rightfully so, like so many of them have had horrible experiences of people who wouldn't even bat an eye to them. So like, what a radical witness to flip that and be like, no, I'm actually going to even more so intentionally, like, make sure you know that I see you, that I recognize your human dignity, and that like I say, like, hello, I see you. You're loved through the way that I look at you, through the way that I respond to you, through it, you know. And whether it's a cashier at the store, a waitress or a waiter at, you know, your restaurant, whether it's, if it's your relative or a friend or someone that you have a close relationship with, again, intentionally invest in that person. Like, I'm not saying spend extra time with that person, because we're also not going to, you know, but like, be intentional with that person. Like, don't just shove them away or put them into a little box in the closet now, you know, no pun intended, but like, throw them back in the closet now that it's like, you know, like, because they've come out to you. Because like, no, if anything, like, that's even more the reason to like intentionally pursue them in friendship and relationship, to invest in them and to know, let them know that you care about them. Again, in terms of the specifics, that's gonna look different case by case. Like, honestly, like, every relationship looks different. If all relationships look the same, we would all master how to love someone. But the reality is, like, it's gonna look different in every relationship. It's gonna look, but at the core root of it, as Catholics in our day-to-day, don't be afraid to just encounter, to ask questions, to listen. I always say that, like, I think so often we try to be Jesus's mouthpiece, right, which is good. We try to speak and to proclaim truth and to, but so little do we, or so seldom do we sit and actually intentionally try and be his ears. Yeah. Instead of trying to be his mouth, you know, why don't we try and be his ears for once? Like, why don't we listen instead of trying to talk and do all the talking constantly? Yeah. Why don't we actually reflect the face of Jesus in a different way and, like, being his ears? Like, listen. Like, ask questions. Let the person speak. Let them talk. Let them know that you're there, that you care. Again, just basic encounter, guys. Like, it really is that simple. In regards to the more specifics, again, I'm not undermining, or I'm not minimizing the reality that, like, as relationship gets deeper, sometimes it gets harder because those more pressing questions come up of, like, the wedding. Should I attend the wedding? Or do I meet their boyfriend or their girlfriend? Or, so I'm not negating that it does get more challenging, more murky, the deeper you go.
Yeah.
But throughout that process, invite the Holy Spirit in. If there's a trusted priest or a trusted spiritual director, or someone that you feel you can rely to have guidance throughout that, who knows you and knows your relationship, again, because every relationship is different.
Yeah.
Seek guidance and counsel on them. You know, pray. Seek guidance, counsel. But at the core of it all, again, I do think it's rooted in just listening, investing, encountering, and being unafraid to just radically love. Because unfortunately, so many of our brothers and sisters in the LGBT plus community have been deprived of that from the church, or from those who represent the church. And so why not combat that with a total radical love? So, yeah.
So thank you guys so much for watching. Once again, I know we've been talking about it a lot, talking your ear off about it, but Thrive Students is coming up here in just a few weeks. So please, we're going to have a whole huge announcement. Keep up to date with that. We're hoping for a lot of fruit to come to that. If you're a youth minister or a high school student, like, this is for you to be able to invest in our young leaders in a Catholic setting and be able, it's practical leadership training. So it's less theological, but it's things like if I'm in a youth group, if I'm a leader in a youth group, what are things that I need? And so please get ready for that. And once again, all of our social media links are in the description down below. Please pray for, I was going to say our whole team, but also every college or high school student. As finals are here and approaching, know that we are praying for you. Any prayer requests, please leave them in the comments below. Do you have anything else?
Closing out? Yeah, I guess just if I have any closing thoughts, just know that you are so wanted and seen and valued and cherished by the Father, and that our Heavenly Father desires intimacy with you, regardless of what you struggle with, regardless of your experiences, regardless of your past. Here, now, Jesus is calling you home. The Catholic Church is your home. God is your Father. Jesus died on that cross for you. And the life that He's inviting you into is not a life that will not fulfill or that will not satisfy. It's a life that might be hard and challenging at times, but it's good, and it's worth it, and it's freeing. And the Lord is good, so...
Isn't God awesome? That's
Amen.
So sick.
It's so good. It's good.
Awesome. So we will see you guys next week. Thank you all so much for watching. Bye, guys.
God bless, guys.